Thank you, praise team. Boy, the Trans-Siberian Orchestra has nothing on us, huh? That's great. All kinds of stuff going on up there. The bells, that was good. Excellent. If you'll take out a Bible now and turn with me to Luke, the book of Luke, the gospel there, Matthew, Mark, Luke. It's in the New Testament, in the third book. Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at a familiar story, and I don't know, I think either hope or peace kind of went out over here, so I'm going to see what I can do to fire it up. I don't know. Maybe not. While you're getting your Bibles out, though, and turning to Luke chapter 1, if you didn't bring a Bible, there's one in the pew rack in front of you. You can use that. And we're going to look there in just a moment as we continue our Advent series, and that is Christmas on the Move. Christmas on the Move. We notice that throughout the Scriptures, as God brings about this incredible event of bringing His Son into the world, He has gone through the ages, moving from prophecy to the words of the prophets to the words written down on the scrolls to different cities like Jerusalem and Nazareth and Bethlehem. God has been on the move to bring about His glorious entrance into this world through Christmas. And so why are we even choosing that? Well, we believe in a God who's on the move. God is on the move. Our God that we believe in, the God of the Bible that we read about frequently, He is the get up and go God. He's not only the get up and go, but He's the get up and grow God. Get up and go, get up and grow, get up and flow, get up and know. And all of those things involve movement. It involves us engaging with God and being with Him and following Him and joining Him in what He's doing. We believe in a God who's active, not a God who's bolted down to an altar that has some shape that looks familiar, an idol, not a God who can't do anything, not a God who stays put or is in one place, not a God who only lives in the church building, you know, God's house. But a God who is out there, who is active, who is seeking to be active in your life as well. A God on the move. And so it's appropriate that even in Christmas, we track this God on a move. On the move. And you know, we'd rather be a river than a pond anyway. Rivers are always different. They are constantly flowing, constantly cleaning, constantly moving, never the same river can you put your foot in twice. But a pond, it grows stagnant. And stagnant is not good. Not for growth in knowledge, in growth in relationship, in growth towards God. So, God on the move. Just to review, we talked about the fact that Christmas is all about God moving through us and around us, bringing us hope and peace and joy and love, the four Sundays of Advent. And He wants to bring that into our lives. He wants to give us the hope that we need. He wants to reconcile us to Himself. And how does He do that? How can we do it? Well, one way is this Bible that you've taken out of the pew rack right there or that you brought with you today. This Bible is God's GPS. If you'd like to go ahead and grab out this green sheet and we'll help you track along with where we're going today. But basically the Bible is God's GPS. It's His map. It's His way to find hope, peace, joy, and love. He tells us very clearly, you don't need a decoder ring to figure this out. You don't need to call up a friend. You don't need to look in the encyclopedia. Here it is, right here. This is God's map. And God's map consistently points to Jesus. Even Jesus said that. We have a verse I put in the notes there for you. It's out of Luke chapter 24. It's after Jesus was risen from the dead. He's talking to the folks that were really depressed. They didn't even recognize Him. They were so distraught. They didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And Jesus began with Moses and all the prophets. He explained to them what all the Scripture said concerning Himself. Jesus. Jesus isn't just a New Testament God. He's not God. He's been God from the very beginning and God to the very end. And the Bible, the Old Testament, clearly shows us Jesus is the answer. As we prepare for the coming, and we talked about this last week, as we talked about the hope that God gives us, we read out of the Isaiah in the prophecy that talked about God. We need to prepare the way for God. Prepare for His coming. How do we do that? We said three things. We said, first of all, we remove the obstacles. We remove the obstacles out of the way. We are supposed to pave the way for people to come to God, not put up obstacles. For too long, the church has put up obstacles for people between them and God. If you want to follow God, if you want to find God, this. You have to dress this way, look this way, talk this way, come to this place. Do these things. And if you don't, you can't find Him. But if you do, maybe you can. And we put up obstacles. Instead, we need to break down the walls to let people come to God. Prepare the way. Give people the right perspective. It's about God. It's not about us. It's not about our personal happiness. It's about the joy that we experience in knowing our Creator and accomplishing what we were created to do. And thirdly, we're supposed to shout the good news. In Isaiah 40, it says, "Here is your God, Israel." We need to shout from the mountaintops, "Here is your God." That's what we need to shout from every manger scene. When we have Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus in a manger, we said last week, He's more than just a pretty little baby in a manger. He's God in the flesh who came to dwell among us, to reveal to us who He was, to show us His love for us. Here's your God, people. Here's your God. He came that first Christmas, revealed Himself to us, lived with us, walked with us, did miracles among us, gave His life for us, and rose again to live today for us, that we might have life. This is the message we've got to proclaim. So what are we looking for? We're looking for that tender shepherd. We don't want a God who just lords over us, who's looking for us, sitting on His throne, looking for somebody to strike down, waiting for you to make a mistake so He can pop you on the head. No, we're looking for a God who's a tender shepherd, who holds us in His arms. The Bible says, "The Lord is my shepherd." We love that song because it's the God, the kind of God we want. The Lord is my shepherd. Well, Jesus said in John chapter 10, "I'm the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down His life for His sheep. Bingo. Jesus is the one. You see, the Bible gives us the map. Not only do we want a tender shepherd, though, but we want somebody who can get stuff done. We want the mighty Creator. We want the God who's ruler of this world. So it's not just somebody joining us in our chaos, but somebody who can bring order to it. And the Bible clearly tells us, there's a passage in Colossians chapter 1 that says, "For in Him, Jesus, all things were created, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through Him and for Him." Jesus is the answer. Now that reminds me. It reminds me of one time the pastor who wrote about a pastor's pals he was doing, and he got up there and he gathered all the kids around and he said, "You know, kids, I got a little question for you." He said, "You know, there's a little animal that runs around in your yard, collects nuts, and lives in the trees." The kids were all silent. He said, "Well, you know, it's gray, or it might be a little brownish, and it has a little fluffy tail." Kids are silent. The pastor said, "Well, he lives in nests sometimes. You sometimes see him on the road. They're a little bit flatter than they are up." Finally, one little kid raised his hand a little bit. He said, "Oh, good. What am I talking about?" He said, "Well, Pastor, I know the answer is Jesus, but it sounds an awful lot like a squirrel to me." The thing is, you assume the answer is Jesus because you're in church. But I want you to know that today, if I can tell you and if I can simplify something very basic for you, Jesus is the answer. You know how I know that? Because that's where the GPS leads me. No matter where I am, no matter how far down I go, no matter how far east or the west I go, no matter what happens in my life, no matter my circumstances, my struggle, no matter how much I feel like my back's against the wall or I feel like I'm in between a rock and a hard place, no matter what brokenness I'm experiencing, the Bible tells me Jesus is the answer. That's what Christmas is about. It's God saying, hello. You weren't quite getting it, so let me show you. And he pierced through the darkness of our world. He pulled back the curtain, and he entered our world to show us what kind of God he was. You want to know what God's like? Look what Jesus is like. Jesus is God. The tender shepherd, the mighty creator, the one who loves you and gave his life for you. Jesus is the answer. So let's read in Luke chapter 1. As this is announced, we're traveling now from Jerusalem to Nazareth, a small town up in Galilee, off the Sea of Galilee. And all of a sudden, we got a date and a time, and it's in chapter 1, verse 26. I'm just going to read a few of these verses through verse 38. So if you follow along in your copy of God's Word, let's read this. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "Well, how can this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from the Lord will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." And then the angel left her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here and we listen to these familiar words, as the announcement of your coming is made to this young girl named Mary, Lord, may we learn a little bit from her and her response today that will allow us to experience Christmas in a fresh way, even now, so many years later. And Lord, more than that, may we walk closer to you as we leave this place. May we be closer to each other as we experience your love and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've got this familiar story. Gabriel coming, you know, you've seen the paintings. You know, there's Mary, she's in her room, and big bright light comes, and it's Gabriel. We don't have all that description, but we do have an angel that shows up. The angel, we've got a Christmas mission that's given to this young lady. I'd like to just look at it really quick and say right up front that we all have a Christmas mission. That's right. You have a Christmas mission. We mentioned last week that it's interesting that we who are Christians, our believers, we who love Christmas and the meaning of the season, the reason for the season, Jesus, we get all bent out of shape as the world around us continues to secularize Christmas. And we get all upset about it, and we say, "Oh, I can't believe they're doing that to Christmas. I can't believe that Christmas becomes so commercial. I can't believe Christmas is all about this and not about, you know, forgetting the meaning of Christmas." But the point is, we cannot expect the world to bring meaning to Christmas. It is our mission to bring the meaning of Christmas to the world. It's our mission. What are you doing to bring the message of Jesus into Christmas this year? Are you doing your part? Mary had a mission. Now, her mission was pretty big deal, right? I mean, it's probably not what she expected. In fact, I'm pretty sure it wasn't. Here's this young lady. She's engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. They live in a little town called Nazareth. So she's a small town girl. I've been there. Nazareth's not that big right now. It certainly wasn't then. She's just a little village girl, probably an arranged marriage. She might have met the guy and knows the guy and likes him okay, but it's an arranged marriage. It's that time of our history where that's the kind of thing that was happening. But she was set. The families were ready to go. They had big plans. Upcoming marriage. Okay? It's kind of a sheltered girl probably, but worked hard and typical Jewish family. All of a sudden, she's interrupted on this particular day. Her cousin Elizabeth is pregnant, 6 months pregnant. And we're told that to give us kind of the timing. She's pregnant with John the Baptist. And now all of a sudden, an angel comes to Mary. Well, a lot of people want to see an angel. Wow, I'd love to have an angel come to me and tell me what's going on. Give me an assignment. Wouldn't that be cool? I'm not exactly sure Mary thought it was that cool. All right? In fact, we have an idea that maybe it wasn't that cool. The angel's message is very simple, and I want to just give you three things. He says to her, now is the time. Now is the time. Everything that you ever hoped for in the Jewish community, everything as a young Jewish girl that you have learned about, that you know about the Messiah coming, about God showing and revealing himself to you, that is going to happen now. It is going to happen right now. In this moment, we are going to get things rolling. God is at work right now. Let me just pause here and say that God is at work right now among us. We don't believe in a God who got the world a spinning and walked off and said, I'll be back later. God is here. He's working. Now. Now is the time. Maybe Mary's excuse might be, this isn't a good time for me, God. We got a wedding to plan. Some of you know my second son is getting ready to get married here in just a couple of weeks. We're doing wedding plans and all kinds of stuff. I'm telling you what, I don't need an angel coming and messing stuff up. They're getting messed up enough. But in comes this angel, says, I know you got plans. I know what you're doing. This is more important. Scrap those plans. Got another plan. But now is the time. Number two, you are a part of that plan. Mary, favored one. God has chosen you. Some people say, well, one way they do that, well, an angel came to Mary. We don't see a bunch of angels coming to different people telling them God's called you to do a special thing. They came to Mary because so that makes Mary extra special, that she rises above. And I think Mary is special, but I'm telling you this. Mary was a regular person. A regular person. Raised in a regular town with a regular life. Get married to a regular guy. She loved the Lord. And she wanted to serve God. That was her heart's desire, but she wasn't perfect. Like all of us, she was born separated, sinful, just like the rest of us, needing a Savior, just like the rest of us. But God chose her. You're the one I want to use. God's choosing you even today. Now's the time. God's at work, and He chooses you. He changes your life forever, but He does choose you. Number three, God will handle the details. You heard what Mary said, right? Wait, time out. And how's exactly that going to happen? I got it covered. Talks about the Holy Spirit. Talks about the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Just like Jesus did in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when he said to those disciples that were gathered around him, he said, when you receive power from the Holy Spirit, then you'll be my witnesses. It's exactly the same thing the angel is saying to Mary here. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and you will bring Christ into the world. And I want you to know that in not in the physical way as Mary did, but in the figurative way, you are to bring Christ into the world. You are called as sure as she was called to bring Jesus into the world on the first Christmas. You are called to bring Jesus into the world this Christmas. Well, I don't know how. How's that supposed to be? I'm a busy person. I've got lots of plans. I got things going on. God says, I got it covered. The Holy Spirit will speak through you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will testify to me. Now, Mary's response is much like our responses sometimes when God calls us to do certain things. First of all, Mary's confused. She's greatly troubled, it says, greatly confused at his words. She wonders what kind of greeting. This isn't exactly what I expected, you know. She's been planning her wedding. She's had a lot of things going on, the things that she's dreaming of doing, and now it's going to be messed up. She's confused about that. This isn't exactly what I expected, she says. She's also afraid. The angel says, don't be afraid. So obviously she is afraid. This is overwhelming. I don't know how this is going to work. She's confused. She's afraid. And she has her doubts. Are you sure you have the right person? I'm not even married. Now think about that. Pregnant out of wedlock. You know, the guys in the town are going, way to go, Joe. It doesn't have anything to do with Joe. This is not man's doing. This is God's doing. What they're thinking about Mary, now Mary gets ostracized. Are you kidding me? Even Joseph, we find, gets upset about it. You know, great, nice wedding we're going to have here. Everybody knows about this. How did that happen? You must have the wrong person. No, we don't have the wrong person. Mary's response is simple. I'm your servant. Let it be unto me as you have said. Wow. How long did she take? Did she listen to the Jeopardy theme before she answered that question? Did the angel say, is that your final answer? I don't know. But I'll tell you what, that just seems so quick, so natural that all of a sudden he asks her to upset her entire life, to ruin every plan that she's ever dreamed of, planned for, everything that her parents, is going to make her parents mad, it's going to make Joseph mad, she's going to be alone in a world of hate. And she says, I'm your servant. Be it unto me as you have said. Wow. I would have at least asked for a few days to think about it. So what does it tell us about Christmas? Can I just sum it up for you? God knows where you live. You know, Mary's in Nazareth. If she knows the Bible at all, she knows the Savior, the Messiah, is supposed to be born in Bethlehem. Wrong house, wrong town, wrong girl. God knows where she lives. We know what happened, right? Then there's a census, and they get, Christmas is on the move again. God knows where you live. God knows your circumstances. He knew Mary wasn't married yet. He knew. It's not a surprise. God knows your circumstances. God knows your plans. This isn't my plan, God. His plans are better. And God wants you to be a part of his plan. You know, God could have just split the sky and come down and revealed himself. Why didn't he do that? He's God. He can do anything he wants. If he really wants to show us who he is, why didn't he just do that? I don't know that I have the right answer, an answer that would satisfy that question. But I know one thing's consistent about God. When he wants to communicate his message, he uses people. Why? I don't know. As imperfect as we are, as much as we fail, as weak as we are, God chooses to use people. I want to come through people. I want you, Mary and Joseph. And today, he wants you. Instead of shouting it and skywriting it across the sky, there is a God who loves you. Come to me. He wants you to do it. I want the people to tell the people that I love them. I want you who've experienced my love to share that love with somebody else. I could tell them, but I want you to do it for me. I want you to bring Christmas into this world. Not me, God. Wrong town, wrong house, wrong person. Really? Me? Yeah, you. So are you willing? What was special about Mary? She was willing. I'm your servant. Be it unto me as you have said. Can you pray that to God today? Can you say that to God about this Christmas season? God, I want to bring Christmas into this world just as Mary did. I want to show them Jesus just as Mary did. I'm willing, be it unto me as you have said. That's the Christmas question today. And when you are willing and God begins to shine his light through you, you experience joy as you've never experienced before. And that's God's will for you, to be fulfilled by being a part of his plan. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for the way that you have watched over us. I thank you for that first Christmas, and I thank you for the testimony of young Mary, who was willing to just be a part of your plan, to allow you to use her as an instrument of your salvation, to bring Jesus into this world that first Christmas. Forgive us when we've thrown up so many excuses, Lord, to not bring Jesus into this world. But let us today renew a commitment to bring Jesus into this Christmas in a very real way. We're willing, Lord. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.